Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that is bringing exciting news today.
Yeah, Fintan's got a new desk. It's very exciting.
Have you got a new desk?
Got one of those sit-stand desk thingies. I'm currently power standing.
No.
Power standing, yeah. It's great.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've got a standing desk, like an addition, which I can stick on top of it, and I loved it. But when I upgraded my Mac, you can run three screens off the new Mac laptops.
Ooh.
So I'm running three screens. Actually, you can run four, I think. So I'm running three screens.
You're in the Matrix.
But there's like a thing that attaches to the back of the desk, and it wouldn't fit onto the standing thing. So I had to sacrifice the standing adapter.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm gutted. Because I like sitting down and knowing that I could be standing.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it's great for a week, then never again. There's a reason people work from chairs.
Yeah, because I'm fundamentally lazy.
Am I a mill worker?
Yeah. Am I a fucking shire horse? I don't think so.
So what's our exciting news, John, apart from my desk?
Well, we've got a few things to talk about.
Do we?
So when this episode goes out,
The
submissions process for the Gambling Book Awards will have closed. We've actually got some really, really, really good books
in
there.
Don't start with "we've actually got." Of course we've got.
Well, no, but we have.
There's no doubt.
Well, no, because, I mean, there's some really good quality authors out there writing in the space. And so it's gambling adjacent and gambling related and gambling themed. And some non-fiction and some fiction. I am thinking that for the second iteration, we have a fiction and a non-fiction.
That's interesting. Sponsorships are available.
Sponsorships are available. Well, no, it's worth mentioning that, I mean, we are in conversation with some people, but the way that we're looking at this is it's an opportunity to have something unique on your booth at ICE.
How do you cut through the noise? Like, ICE is huge. Everyone's there. Massive stands, massive things going on, you know, and you've got the sunk cost of the stand, the people, just your hotel bill, your coffee bills, your dinner bills, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's always the challenge with sponsorship stuff where, you know, these kind of exhibitions where you've got all these costs, but how do you activate it? How do you really bring it to life? How do you drive footfall? Something that cuts through, right? Something that's going to cut through on social media, something that's going to cut through on your stand, something that's going to cut through with your audience. And Gambling Book Awards is the solution. We have the answer.
Joint marketing. That's what it is, because we'll be marketing the shit out of it.
Oh, for sure.
And other people, you know, somebody comes along as a sponsor, a gold sponsor, a platinum sponsor or whatever, then they have that marketing opportunity as well. And we can work together on it. And it's
have authors at your stand doing book signings, guest speakers.
No brainer, dude. No brainer.
Social media content, meet your clients.
Our stuff.
But look, we've also got two awards, right? So we've got the two awards. We've got the author awards and we've also got the journalist award.
Yeah, the journalist awards. So I know that we do have some of the gambling press do listen to this.
Oh, of course they do.
So if anybody out there is listening and if there's somebody, whether it's in your organization or another organization, and you think they've been doing absolutely sterling work this past 12 months, then nominate them for the Gambling Industry Journalist of the Year. Because it comes with a prize of £4,000. So if you really, really like them, then that would be a really nice gift from you. Yep. So we're doing that because, you know, there are awards out there. None of them, as far as I'm aware, come with a cash prize. So they're kind of, yeah, you did really great. Now fuck off.
Well, look, we love writers. We love great content. We love thoughtful content. And I think it's a great way to, you know, the industry journalists like work so hard. There's so much going on. You know, there's so many things they have to navigate from a content perspective. And I think it's a way to celebrate them.
It's true. You are not full of shit. I don't care what anybody says.
When you say it like that.
What?
It's like starting to send him, I'll be honest.
I'm not racist, but... Ah, good times, good times. So submissions have closed for the book entries, but the journalist entries is open until the end of October.
Nice, good, good. So there's still time as well, because it's your thing about journalism, right? You know, maybe you're sitting on that article you haven't published yet. Go on, hit publish. Let's go for it.
Yeah, fuck the facts.
Oh, look, we're post-truth. This is fine.
Well, we could call it the Fuck the Facts Award. it's nicely alliterative too. But anyway, so there's that, right? There's also, it's worth mentioning, we've just been talking about sponsorship. I'd like to mention our sponsors.
I think you should.
But we need to get a new read from Optimove. Did you know that?
Do we?
Because every Matrix...
listening and they're not a fan of the fucking voices.
No. Well, every Matrix have given me a read that it's a read for all seasons. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean because we had their G2E read, their breakfast pancakes thing.
Well, yeah. Well, this is going to be coming out on the final day of G2E. So it will be...
Can I say?
Oh, yeah, will it be the final day of G2E? Where are we? Yeah, this will be coming out on the final day of G2E. So, we're going to be late. I could read the SBC Lisbon one. So we need to get a new one from them. But like I say, every Matrix, future-proofed. Mm. A bit like every Matrix.
Jesus Christ, John. That was smooth.
I know. There are no seams. But no, seriously, right?
They're never going to renew, are they? For fuck's sake. Oh, my God. Fucking
Fenton, no, but it's very serious when I say that every Matrix is delivering advanced turnkey platform technologies to the global regulated iGaming and lottery industries with outstanding results. I'm not just saying that because they're powering the world's biggest brands, Fenton. Did you know that? Did you know that they're solving your biggest challenges? Did you know that they're taking your business to the next level? Every Matrix, everything is possible.
Taking their business to the next podcast. What's fucking happening there, mate? Look, ads reads aside, Every Matrix are great. They're a really, really good bunch. If you need a sports book, you need a casino or a lottery, just call them. Go through the stuff and you've got an excellent choice. They power some of the biggest brands in the biggest countries. They've got local presence. They can tailor to any market. They can tailor to any needs. They're great.
It's true. He's right.
For sure.
Please. He is not full of shit. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that.
Sponsorship's available. Please renew.
No. One that says, my name is Fenton. I am not full of shit.
Yeah, this is what, second, third time you've said this now in like what, fucking 8 minutes?
What's your point?
I'm saying, I think there's a theme here.
Well, there's you saying that my shenanigans are going to get every Matrix to not renew. Okay.
We'll say...
So Optimove, they're other sponsors of ours. Did you know, I don't know if you know this, they're the creators of positionless marketing.
They are. And it took me, I get it. I really get it now. It took me a while to get my head around it. But, you know, I do a lot of startup stuff and you see it. It's just like, yeah, you've got to be everything to everyone. Particularly like if you're starting doing social media stuff, multi-channel, you've got to be a expert in so many different fields now. It's super tough being a marketer in 2025.
Yeah, it is. And we established, I think it was last episode, that I might be able to use them with my online dating apps. Get some date retention.
Reactivation. A reload bonus.
Don't Fintan, you have to take this to the lowest common denominator, don't you?
What do you mean?
It's because you're standing up. It's because you're standing up. That's what's creating the friction here. Yeah. But Optimove, it's frictionless.
They're also the, you know, major Power 50. They power the majority of the Power 50 operators. They can work with big companies, big enterprise, startups. They've got a whole startup program, everything in between.
People on Tinder.
They've got all the data, so there's no point trying to recreate it. Just use them and they'll shortcut you to CRM Nirvana.
Basically, and mention the gambling files when you speak to them and you will get your first month free.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, because that's good for us as well. Because
great for the renewals.
It'd be good if somebody renewed. I mean, how many people can I piss off? But anyway. Last but not least.
Go on.
We're also sponsored by Clarion Gaming.
We are.
The people who put ICE on and doing a fabulous job. And I'm really looking forward to Barcelona in January. Really, really am.
I can't. Are we going to do our annual Barcelona meet dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a thing there, right?
It was good. Should we look around and like eat meat in different places, or you just want to go to your favorite place?
It's the best steak. Why would I go anywhere else?
Well, I went to a very nice little Art Deco McDonald's.
Yeah. Or we could go for actual meat.
That's meat. It's just it's more of a legal definition.
Compressed. Sweepings.
No, it's just, I was looking at the cat food ingredients the other day and I'm horrified. I love my cat. He's an absolute diamond. And it's like, it's, you know, chicken, sachet of chicken. Except it turns out it's only 4% chicken. What's the other 96, for fuck's sake?
It's like chicken flavored crisps, right? It's just flavored.
It's fucking unreal. I mean, I'm horrified. He's gonna hate me when he grows up. Well, if he grows up, he might remain a pygmy because of the shit I'm feeding him. So I'm gonna go to the pet shop. I'm gonna get some advice. They'll know what to do.
Full of growth hormones and stuff. He'll be fine.
Yeah, it'd be like a cow in a week.
Tiger.
No, when he first went to the vet, the vet was told he's a pygmy tiger, and the vet luckily accepted it. I also make the vet always use his full name, so the vet always has to refer to him as Bernard Pickle. You've got to amuse yourself where you can. So, right, I'm saving the big news till last.
Go on.
So this episode, we're speaking to Adi Tota, CEO and co-founder of Lucky Streak. Now, we did record this one a few weeks ago.
We did.
We've been sitting on it because we had the India episode and that was topical. And we had a few episodes crop up that were time sensitive, basically, including Optimove's G2E breakfast one, the sweeps one, sorry, and he said the NFL one. That's we're way past that. Oh shit! Do you know what I forgot to do?
Go on.
I forgot to put that link in the show notes. Well, they're definitely not going to renew now, are they? Fuck me!
Oh, you donkey!
Yeah.
You fuck! I knew you'd forget.
You WhatsApped it to me as well.
I fucking knew you'd forget.
Oh man! Fuck! I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go and do it now. What?
I can't work like this.
I don't know what you're talking about, Fintan.
So Netflix have this thing. Their IT department has this thing where they stress test their systems. Right, and they're looking for ways the systems can fail and things can break and all that kind of stuff. And they call it the chaos monkey. So they let the chaos monkey loose and see what breaks, break stuff, randomly break stuff, and then see what fails. And, you know, I work across multiple things. And then there's this with my personal chaos monkey. It's just like, what's he going to do this week? Who fucking knows? And it's just every week's an adventure. Every week's an adventure.
This is why I'm self-employed. It's why the big boys are not queuing up at my door.
Employed doing a lot of fucking heavy lifting in that sentence.
I'm self. Yeah, that works.
Oh, my fucking Lord. Good man.
Well, I'm going to go back and edit it now.
Yeah, I think you should.
And I'm not
cut out all this so they don't know. It was always there. What the fuck are you
doing? No, I'm leaving it in. I'm owning my mistake. Do you think I should cut it out? No, leave it in.
Leave it
in. Fucked up.
Funny.
I fucked up. Yeah, it'd be even funnier when they don't renew.
And this is what they referenced.
So we got Addy from Lucky Streak. We talk about all sorts.
Addy's a super interesting guy. So live dealer, great live dealer business, content aggregation as well. Doing some really smart stuff around AI.
We got into the live dealer land based as well.
Yeah. So I think there's you know, live dealer is rapidly growing segment. For sure, hugely profitable, and using how do you use AI to do smart stuff in that space, delivering a better customer experience, delivering a better game experience, better time for player. So it's some really interesting thoughts on that, and also some really interesting thoughts on like the end of the world and, you know, that kind of thing. But which him and John got really deep into, but we've rolled them. Turns out I'm the optimist in this group. That's quite interesting. He lives in Thailand. He does, yeah, a really cool guy. Like I'd love to hang out a bit more with him and spend a bit more time, because he's clearly got a lot to say and some great stories.
Okay, that's a pretty decent summary. And finally, our big news.
We've got more news.
So it's big more. It's big news, Fintan.
Steak knives. Everyone's getting steak knives.
Yes, second prize is steak knives. First prize, Cadillac Eldorado.
Third prize, you're downloading this podcast.
Third prize is, I forgot the link.
Yeah. Third prize is, we're all unemployed. What's our news?
So, we're launching a new podcast.
Jesus Christ, we can't be doing more. How are we doing another podcast?
I know, it is
How wild. Is this even possible?
I just thought, I've got too much time on my hands. What?
Are you cheating on me? Are you cheating on me with another podcast host? Is that what this is?
Actually, yeah, I kind of am.
Is this like, are we now in a truple? Is that what they call it?
Thruple.
Thruple?
Thruple.
It's a lot of tongue in that one, okay.
It's an odd work, that word.
I don't know if I signed up for like an open podcast host relationship, John.
But the thing is, right, listen, this is not how the kids describe it. The kids would describe it as polyamory or ENM.
I thought you were going to say weekend daddy. it's just a weekend daddy. you're the weekday daddy.
Ethical non-monogamy.
Ethical non-monogamy.
It's the thing.
What's that?
Well, that's like when you can basically shag anybody you want, but you go home to the same person. It seems to be the rule. But some people have their little subsets in ethical non-monogamy,
really?
Including DADT, which is don't ask, don't tell, which is basically do whatever you like.
Okay.
Don't ask me how I know.
None of this is for me. I'm not a sharer. Yeah.
I think my issue, Fintan, is I'm just too secure.
Too much love to give.
And the world is so small, it's only 50% women.
Okay, so, all right, so you're cheating on me with another podcast. Who is it?
Yeah.
Who is it?
This is a very specialized podcast, right? I'm cheating on you.
What's he doing for you that I can't do for you? Come on.
He's a doctor.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Fucking so we started talking about bunions the one day, and it just spiraled from there.
Those warts you were showing me earlier on.
Exactly. And I can't get into that position again with where the camera is. It's too painful. No, so we're doing a podcast on addiction. With Dr. Michael Auer as the co-host. Well, he's okay. Probably technically the host. I'm probably the co-host.
You would be considered the color.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, basically, Dr. Auer is Austrian. And so each episode, I try and get him to say some variation of "Get to the chopper." And luckily, he's been very obliging with that. But we've recorded a bunch already. It's basically we're taking an holistic look at addiction.
Yeah.
So it's not just gambling addiction. It's looking at gambling mechanics that exist in other places. We're looking at blind boxes, we're looking at loot boxes, we're looking at all kinds of things and how they work. I think the first episode is blind boxes, which segues into loot boxes predictably. We've got academics from all around the world. Basically, if you're in compliance, if you're in RG, if you're in regulatory,
any of those. Or just curious, just addiction curious.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, like I say, I mean, gambling addiction is going to be at the heart, but it's taking a much more holistic view on addiction. And we've got some really, really interesting people coming on it's really fascinating. I'm not sure, when we started talking about it, we agreed that the frequency would be fortnightly. But we're getting so many good guests and people are quite literally queuing up that we might go weekly. I'm not sure yet.
Sponsorships available.
Well, yeah, it's a really interesting one to sponsor potentially. It's sort of, if you're a company that wants to be seen to be doing something very positive around RG, this would be the kind of thing I would suggest. Rather than a company that's in compliance or that might, because obviously Michael has commitments with, he sold his business Necton to OpenBet a couple of years ago, and there's still involvement there. So he can't do things that would contravene whatever the agreement is. And I don't know what the agreement is. But I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for businesses there.
Makes perfect sense to
sort of be seen to do something presenting to the industry.
I'd love some like random crash game, fucking couldn't give a fuck type sponsor. I think that'd be fucking hilarious.
Do you know who I keep wanting to go to?
Who?
You weren't there for the episode.
Oh, the rubber duck guys.
Yeah, 155.io.
I'm so gutted I missed that. I love that. The content around that's perfect. That is like modern gambling. It is brilliant.
Well, you summed it up really brilliantly. It's like, you know, chaos. It fits the brand.
It's TikTok. It's just TikTok. Like, it's such a perfect format for TikTok because you get so invested in like whatever marble or duck or car you've picked. You have to see a truth at the end.
21st century poo sticks.
Basically.
But anyway, in the absence of them, sponsorships are available for that new podcast if you want to have a conversation about it. But mostly, we'll be launching that in the next couple of weeks. And I'm really excited about it. Just haven't quite settled on the name.
I thought we'd settle on the artwork.
Well, no. See, the designer's actually doing two variations. Because we've got addiction with Dr. Michael Auer. An hour with Auer. Right? See what we did there?
Yeah. I love that. But then there's
addiction, the power hour.
And then if you do like in the metal, like the Metallica type font.
Yeah. It's crazy. It brands itself.
I think the hour with hour is better.
It's more grown up, isn't it?
Yeah. more sponsor friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, power hour is easier to say.
It really is.
But then it'll just become the Michael Auer podcast, right? That's what people's going to call it. So maybe that's the trick, right?
It'll become what it becomes. Yeah. So there's the big news. Got a lot going on. So enjoy this episode, the conversation with Addy. And we will see you soon.
Bye.
We are joined by this week's guest. I'm delighted to. We're having. Fenton, can I call it a synergistic moment? Can I call it?
I've never used that word in my life.
You're a fucking marketing person. You know full well you've used it. You fucking lie. This is not a place to lie, Fenton.
I've done the finger gesture. I've done that. I do that quite a lot. Ironically.
The old finger gesture, you know that one. Did you ever see the South Park episode about that one?
No.
It's phenomenal. Really, the kids are like, you know, like the old finger guns. But the kids in South Park, they hear the expression. I can't believe I'm going to say it. They hear the expression finger bang and they assume that that's what it means.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
And they have their boy band and they sing their song about finger banging. And it's one of my favorite ever South Park episodes. It's so wrong. But that does not lead us to this week's guest. We're joined by Mr. Addy Tota, who is CEO and co-founder of where was it again, Addy? Could you show us?
It's Lucky Streak.
For anybody who's listening, not watching the video, he's wearing a Lucky Streak t-shirt. And I've got to say, it's a nice t-shirt.
Thank you. I had to dig it up from the back of the closet. Very proud of it. And we're not finger bangers, if I might add, as we started the episode with that title.
Not finger bangers, and you're also out of the closet. So everybody wins today.
Good start.
But this episode, so it ties in with a lot of stuff that we've done recently. So we've done a few episodes on AI and ethics, and that's been really, really interesting in the gambling industry. And last episode we had, no, hang on, episode before last, I should say. Episode before last we had Richard Marcus on, who's a table games protection expert. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the table games thing came up because Derek Stevens saying that on Fremont Street in Vegas, the Golden Gate, which, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not a fancy high-end casino. I'm not dissing it, but it's not. They're going to remove all of their live dealer games. And so Richard was on talking about that. And, you know, we had a good chat. I love Richard. You missed him, Fintan.
I know. I love Richard too.
Did you know he's like, I think he said he's 75.
No way.
I know, right?
Whatever moisturizer he's using, we should all be using it then.
Plus, he's got more energy than you and I combined, which admittedly when I'm in the equation isn't saying that much, is it? Yeah, I went to the zoo the other week. A sloth called me out, called me a lazy fucker. Cheeky bastard. So first things first, what does Lucky Streak do?
So we started out as a live dealer provider. That was our bread and butter back in 2014 when we started developing the company. In 2017, we moved into having Lucky Connect as well, which is an aggregation platform. And we've been doing both, meaning live dealer, including OTT roulettes, dedicated tables, everything that a live dealer does, an aggregation business. And looking into the future, we're looking into meshing services together and becoming more than just a content provider or a run-of-the-mill aggregator. With use of AI, if I might allow to tease. I'm just kidding.
AI is getting mentioned a lot these days.
Yeah, it's a buzzword for sure.
It does seem to be quite fashionable. I think it's the cryptocurrency of 2025.
Or the blockchain.
That too.
Also improved all of our lives.
It's always interesting as like the Bitcoin price rises, the crypto bros are struggling. Am I a crypto expert or am I an AI expert? And they're not quite sure which pony, like which hype train should I jump on?
They're,
right now?
They're doing both now. They're buying.
Yeah. I have seen some sort of blockchain AI thing being proposed. And it's just like, stop. Behave.
I remember back when AI was called machine learning.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a big thing that people are confused now. That basically what happened is that we have language models that allow us simpletons to speak with the machine, quote unquote. And that is the real, I think, the real changer that happens. More of us are now understanding or have a way to have friction or interact with this type of technology. That, again, is machine learning and has been something that we as humanity and high tech has been working on for a long time. And I think if you will talk with technical people, which I'm not, you will see a lot of people smirk and say, hey, we use elements of machine learning in our software, in our code, in our configurations a decade ago. So I think that what's happening now is that we, the population is being caught up with what's going on, and it's opening imagination. And I do believe
also accessibility and interface, isn't it, fundamentally?
Yeah, it's accessibility and interface, and then just everything goes on steroids.
Well, last week's guest was one of the assistant professors at the University of Florida, and she's done a thing about ethical use of. She's done a report on ethical use of AI in gambling, and she made the point. And you know, like you say, it's been around for a long time in various guises, and it's been developing in all of that time. She made the point that in medicine, it's been in use for forever. Pretty much, because the in terms of reading results, in terms of analyzing X-rays and things like that, it's been absolutely forever. I saw something the other week. Did you two see this story? Blew my fucking tits off. Blew my mind. One of the most positive stories I've seen in the news for God knows how long. That AI was used to analyze antibiotic results. At fighting various different infections, and using AI technology, they have developed an antibiotic that will kill MRSA and Fintan, you'll be delighted about this, and gonorrhea. Two previously unkillable viruses. I mean, we're still going to be 8-10 years away because they're going to have to do clinical trials, but that's extraordinary. Like, I've been probably a little bit ambivalent about AI, but I heard that and I thought, oh yeah, I remember it can do clever things. It's not ChatGPT, fuck's sake. I got sucked into that whole, like, oh, ChatGPT, it's this thing that will write scripts.
But I do think that ChatGPT, again, because most of us are starting to understand AI through our interaction with ChatGPT, and also the fact that it imitates interactions, I think that that's what's causing a lot of confusion, and part of what I heard on the episode that you guys discussed it. And that is where I have a very, let's say, unwavering stance. And yes, I was anti-AI in the beginning, meaning I thought it was a buzz. I then dove into it about 8 months ago. If it's downloading ChatGPT and all the learning all the other softwares and doing some online academy courses by these influencers, and yes, it's very exciting. I think it's moving faster than we know, but there is a temptation, which is not a temptation anymore. I can tell you that I'm hearing it in friends who have different positions and even NASDAQ listed companies about the AI hype, which is people are committing to replace their staff with AI. And once an industry leader, and it's not happening in our industry, but once an industry leader says that and states, I will cut 30% or 40% of my support staff by the end of 2025 in order to affect his stock price, everyone follows suit. Whether if they believe it's doable or if the technology is mature enough, it doesn't matter. And I fear that this is where we are. The race has begun. Meaning some people think they can replace their staff. Some people already announced it. The big boys that are publicly listed are now, let's say, trading around the rumors on how they're going to do it, and everyone is following suit. And I believe that what we will see is the initial impact that we'll have. I'm not talking about psychologically or sociologically on our society, is that we will see a drop in service, and we will actually see the opposite effect, which is the increase in value of human relationships. Now, I don't know if you guys had it. I think you're from the UK. We had it in Israel when I was growing up. We used to pay like $150 for our cellular packages. And then came a government reform, which pretty much broke up their monopoly. And then everything became $9.99. And the first reaction that we saw as consumers was, yeah, we're now paying considerably less, but there is no one to speak to. If I used to have a head of client accounts and used to do family accounts or company accounts, and you had services, That disappeared overnight. It was automated bots with buttons. And interestingly, what happened is that immediately all company loyalty broke to zero and it became a race to the bottom. I will move provider to provider if I can save a cent and I have no loyalty and no one's taking care of my issues. And that is my fear when I think about AI, again, on that service level specifically, if it's account management, if it's client support.
It's very fair. And I think I was saying to Fintan, like, if I won the Euro Millions jackpot, I was going to open a bank and it'd be a bank where, like, there's seats for old people and we serve tea and biscuits.
And that works today.
There's,
by the way, a study in the U.S. specifically about that. I forgot the name of the bank, and they were more expensive than anyone. But, hey, you can come and sit and talk with a banker.
Yeah, have a chat. Build a relationship. Let's not just go computer says no. But what's really fascinating is when you get into the nuts and bolts of this, this is going to sound like I'm being overly dramatic, but I'm deliberately being polar here. There's a degradation of sort of social contract, I guess. It's like employers for the last couple of decades have been, well, you've got a job, what more do you want? As opposed to, it used to be you have a job and things come with the job and there's fun stuff and you enjoy going to work, etc. And this isn't just me getting older. The attitude towards employees for a lot of businesses, especially the big ones, has changed. And full-time positions are being replaced with part-time positions. So there are fewer benefits. Well, if there are fewer benefits, there's no sick pay, there's no holiday pay. So people's lives are harder and there's less money in their communities because there's less money in their pockets, etc. And all of this tends to be with a short-term earnings report in mind. It's all about that short-term impact. And what I think they're forgetting is that, okay, so they've taken that person and they made them part-time, and so they've saved this, that, and the other on that person. Great, brilliant. Aren't you a fucking great CEO? But your shareholder is their parents. Or their grandparents. It's like we're forgetting that we are in fact all interconnected and we're creating a greater divide intergenerationally as a result of these short-sighted decisions. Maybe I'm a hippie. It's possible. Fintan's got the hair, but I borrow it occasionally to be a hippie.
I lost my hair, but I live in a small island called Koh Phangan, which is hippie island. So I do believe some of the things you're saying. But
can you get mushrooms freely there?
For sure, in your local coffee shop, Rasta Bar. Legally, yes.
Not that I'm condoned. Don't do drugs, kids. I'm cool.
Yeah, don't do drugs. Yeah, unless you do a little bit with guidance. I think the point is what you're saying is, and something I firmly believe, which is, again, funny to say as a CEO or as a business type, I think that we are in the era of the end of capitalism as we know it. I mean, capitalism was great, but it's a self-consuming beast. I know you're laughing, but...
I've got to find out why he's laughing.
A grim future. Let me give you a grim future, which talks along the lines he's saying, and I'll add AI. Companies are running for the next quarterly reports. Economies, especially with the people who are in power right now, are judged by the stock ticker. The people around them get rich based on stocks. The rest of the population isn't really stock heavy. Again, they might trick us that we are, but our pensions and everything, we don't care. We care about the daily day-to-day, our lives. And what's going to happen is we are going to see, and again, this is I'm being an extremist here, we're going to see a huge change in the work environment in the next 3 to 5 years. Junior positions are going to be nearly extinct in certain verticals. There are complete verticals that are going to be extinct. There's going to be more and more companies that are top heavy, 6, 7 great talented guys managing a company that in the past you needed at least 100 people under them. That's not going to be the case anymore. And this will cause a fracture in society. Meaning we are pushing ourselves for the name of quarterly reports and earnings and stocks. We are pushing ourselves to some sort of society extinction. And again, since I'm not a philosopher and I don't have a PhD in economics, but at the end of the day, people are not going to be able to buy the new iPhone every year, even though everything we see on social media and our kids, I don't know if you guys are parents, our kids are led to believe that's how they're going to be judged. What's going to be their next purchase? What's the brand that's on the back of their shirt and how they are perceived? So we are in an era of, on one hand, hyper-consumption. On the other hand, no one has stability or savings. And we're riding happily into our doom. Now, all we need is one event to change things. And I think that the fact that full positions are going to be extinct in the next 2 years. Meaning I'm super happy that I'm not 20 years younger. Because I don't know what I would have done. And I'm coming again from Israel. We have extreme costs of living and everything. But really, a 20-year-old today that does everything right and goes and studies and excels, he's looking at a life of debt.
Wow. Fenton, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the death of capitalism.
The death of this version of capitalism.
I'm usually the pessimist in the conversation, but you guys are making me look like a raging optimist.
It's all that hair you've got.
It could be the holiday, big long holiday I've had. My batteries are
recharged. 6 weeks.
Everything's good. You know what? What could possibly go wrong? Maybe I am the cause of all of this. Maybe it's me. They say it's not that history repeats itself, but it definitely rhymes. And, you know, I think when we look at kind of AI and these LLM tools and stuff, they're a tool. There's a saying, I can't remember who said it, but there's a famous quote from professional cycling. And the guy says, it never gets easier, you just go faster.
Oh, that was me.
And he's talking about cycling. And I think that applies really well to situations like this. So the AI tools, it doesn't mean that we can, you know, the AI is going to do everything and we can sit back and drink pina coladas because we're in this post-economic thingy. I would see it as just, you can now expect more productivity from your teams and the company. And I think it goes back to your point, Adi, of it's not about replacing 50% of your customer service team, like what was it, Klarna did it, and they've already rolled it back because it was a fucking disaster.
Disaster.
It's about, you could have used it to turbocharge your existing team and give them even more ability to do great stuff. And I think when I look at the technology, and I've been like, I started off skeptical and now I'm kind of coming around to it. And like, if I was a developer, I'd be very worried right now. If I was a mediocre developer, I'd be very worried right now. If I was a good developer, I'd be delighted because I'm going to turbocharge what I'm doing. The crap developers are basically out of a job because you can vibe code it yourself. And I've seen some amazing stuff just using AI, things, tools built, websites built, products, apps, the whole shebang. And I think it's more a case of, it's a tool, you're just going to be expected to do more work. What an average day looks like is just going to be more intense. And that's how capitalism has always worked. Every introduction of technology has required more from the people. And everybody ends up working harder. Be it the telex machine, pagers, the first cell phones.
So isn't that counterproductive?
Email, web, you like pick a technology, semaphore, like the Morse code, like it doesn't matter how far back in time you go, it just means everything speeds up. And that's all that happens in capitalism. Everything just gets faster. Is kind of how I would look at it. Live dealer, hey? let's talk a bit about that. So, okay, sure. So you guys have, let's focus on the live dealer side of things for a start, because I think it's a really interesting, like, if you take this AI discussion, it, you know, and I think the parallel would be, oh, here's 50,000 slot games that are all about seashells, and here's another 50,000 slot games that are all about books, leprechauns, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever, you pick your topic, right? And they all look fairly generic and interchangeable or whatever. And then when you take something like Live Dealer, like here is a real person with a real table, dealing real cards, throwing real balls, dice, whatever it's going to be. And do you, like, without putting words in your mouth, do you feel it's there's the reason Live Dealer is becoming or is so important to online casinos is the realness, or is it something else?
I think it started the realness and the integrity. I think that was the beginning and the origin of Live Dealer. That was the source. I think that as time moved forward, it became entertainment. And again, there's tiers to this. I think Evolution does it in an unbelievable level. And again, they are purely an entertainment company, and kudos to them. You look at their game shows, it's being on TV and being part of it. But we try to do it at our scale. I mean, we try, and that's something we repeat to our team. We provide entertainment. We don't provide gaming. We don't provide casino. And I'll explain why. There's only a certain number of minutes or hours you have free in the day, and we are fighting for screen time. We need to fight against Netflix. We need to fight against Clash of Clans, and we need to fight against a boring NFL game that you're streaming now on Game Pass. That's how it works. So, like you're saying, a lot of people provide more of the same. A lot of people tend to needs. People need to play a game. I'm not going to call it addiction, but people want to go online casino, and some companies have a great time serving a specific market. We look at it at a different way. We believe that we need to provide entertainment. We believe that gaming is a lonely activity, and it happens in a couple of ways. One, it's you against the house, and that's something that I think all of us in the community need to find a way to crack. We are not working together collaboratively to accomplish anything. When you come, you're playing against the house. Again, we don't have poker. We don't have multiplayer poker or something like that, but that's the feeling. It's a very solo experience. The other thing is, in some places, it's not really... you guys in the UK are much more evolved than a lot of other places in Europe. You have betting shops and everything is in the open. Yeah, you're evolved. I'll give you that. But in some places, it's a lonely activity. You don't do it in front of friends. You go sit in your room at the end of the day, sit in your underwear and playing on your phone. So I think there's a lot of loneliness. And I think that's where Live Dealer fits. It allows you to feel not alone. It allows you to be entertained. And yeah, it's the end of the day, gaming. And that's why when I hear, and I'm not even talking about AI, it can be robotics as well. If you replace the human element, that is not Live Dealer. People don't need today the video feed to know that it's something real generated. You know, they're going to trust a table game that has an RNG with a certificate and a UKGC license. So I never understood this parallel. Now, I can say, based on AI insight, by the way, and not my own, that there are certain type of player and Live Dealer that don't like the live element. And what do I mean? Roulette tables, especially ones with fast spin times, are usually played on mute. I was shocked to hear it. Also, there's a correlation, that's even funnier, of average bet and the tendency to press mute. Meaning when players come and they play small stakes, they're hanging around the table. Yeah, they're coming for the chatter and the entertainment. When a guy comes and does, let's say, unproportionate bet to the rest of the betting community, usually they have a very different way of playing and consuming the game. So again, it's a wrinkle in my belief that I thought everyone wants entertainment. No. You see it also with OTT roulettes, which are usually played on mute, but the average bet on them is much higher than a studio roulette.
Which makes sense. Like if you've been to like Macau or say casinos in Singapore and stuff like that, it's a very serious, like high rollers, it's a very serious,
quiet,
this is my job type. Like I am at work right now.
Yeah.
Versus the stereotypical kind of craps table scene in a Las Vegas-based movie.
Exactly. And by the way, that's where AI should come in our industry. If we could identify the player, which player he is, we could suggest the proper games to him. And if he's a big enough player, we can even adjust the chatter on the table. For example, if one of these players come in and we know he prefers relative silence, if the dealer knows it and can immediately change the way she interacts to become more professional, or if a pit boss can come and welcome him and say, hey, would you like to play a few rounds alone? Plus a button's going to appear on your screen, move to a dedicated table. And I do think it sometimes it is our work as providers to find players and help match what they need. Now, of course, we always do it, all providers behind the scenes with the operator, with the relative games, with the relevant limits to your market. But I think there's more that we can be done as we are now being fed with real-time data.
Yeah, that makes sense. It feels very doable, right? It doesn't feel like there's a massive leap.
No, I'll tell you what, most of the complication is agreeing with the operators how you handle players in certain situations.
Mm.
Because again, it's their player, and that's where we are sort of in a, let's say we're very hedged in what we can do. If we were end-to-end company, what you could do with AI, and then we need to talk about morality. But as a provider, I think it's about augmenting your people, like you said exactly, Fintan, which is how do I make my people better with AI? If it's speed of response, quality of response, or if it's insights. We want to give insights to our clients. And then we have the whole, yeah, go on.
But if you, okay, so just kind of building on your idea then. So if you look at like video avatar type things where you can like take a video picture of me and then turn me into a talking animation thing.
Yeah.
There's a whole range of things around like, you know, we've had companies come to us to say, hey, we'll translate your podcast into lots of different languages. And they will manipulate the mouths and then overlay the sounds. And it's the dubbing's excellent. So if you think of your players, guy sits down, coming from a client's website, you know, the dealer's speaking English or whatever language the dealer speaks, but it's automatically being translated into that player's language on his audio feed. Or there's different audio feeds of like, just she's just not talking for him. So he just sees she's kind of silent, just working away, saying, you know, the normal stuff. And then for somebody else's feed, the wider feed, she's chatting away. But
I'll tell you where we are. I'll tell you where we are with technology. But what you're saying is already working at a very good level for recorded streams.
Mm.
We process. We get it. We process. We can simulate it. We can play with the mouth. That's great. We are live. And that's
a good point.
Software is not there. On the other hand, filters, visual, are totally there. Meaning I can make us two rabbits and a evil mouse in a second. We could melt. We can glow. That's there. Okay. Technology is there. And what's not there, which is the lines and the shades, that's evolving super quick. And that is something that I think it's a very shallow use of AI, if I will be straightforward. Yeah. This is sort of like filters that they had in Snapchat or in WeChat in China a decade ago. So yeah, it's cool, and it might be, there might be creative ways to use it. We're thinking of a creative way to use it actually as an aggregator, but I don't think that is something that anyone is going to talk about, you know, 3-4 years into the future. I think that what goes on with AI, and again, I think that's part of like the trick, like, you know, magicians, they make you look, everybody's looking at the cool features. That's not how it's going to change the world. It reminds me when I got my first iPhone, I remember the only thing that we had on the iPhone, there was an app where you could make it like a beer and then drink it and it will make the sound. But that's it. That was the only change it made in my life from my old flip phone. So I think we're still focused on that.
It's a very good point. And I think if you go back to the fundamentals of it's a live dealer, do you even want that question in the back of a player's mind that the feed's been manipulated with?
Augmented, exactly.
Right, or augmented, or stuff added, or a filter. Like, hey, if they can add a filter where his hair is on fire.
Where's the line? Where's the line? Maybe it's a filter on the wheel. Yeah.
How do I know the wheel's right? It's a very good point. So where do you see, like, is there a place for AI in this?
There is a lot of place for AI. I think that, first of all, there is everything that has to do with monitoring. If we're talking about, let's talk about the studio operation front.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that has to do with monitoring, judging, seeing time, seeing that things work smoothly, AI is going to be a huge assistance with it. If it's cards integrity, shuffler integrity, anomalies and spacing on the floor, live feed from your CCTV to see any deviations of a shoe, it's going to be huge help on that. It helps us also with shifts. Shifts in live dealer is something that can be, you can struggle with, meaning it's not as straightforward as you think, especially if you have movements, especially if you are introducing a book a private table feature or something, you need to open a table for a VIP. So it helps you a lot in that. I think land-based casinos will use it more than us because it doesn't matter, even though we have a big studio and we have 200 employees, it's different than a real land-based casino. So we'll use it less, but I do think that's going to be big. So that's on the operation side. On the software side and on the entertainment side, again, I think that matching things to players and being able to identify players by their traits will allow us to do a lot of magic in the behind the scenes. When you log into our platform, and if we know who you are, you will see a different platform. Again, that's the vision. It will take time, but that's the vision, and that's the game changer, I think.
That makes sense. And it doesn't feel like it requires much in terms of the integration from the operator. It's really more just them kind of what's possible and what experience would I like to deliver. So it's really just getting them thinking about what they'd like.
Kind of feels. Look, I think it will start from the lower level, which is again just matching you the lobby. I can offer you a lot of different stuff based on who you are. I can pop on the top of the lobby the relevant things. Then you can tie it in with promotions, which is something I think live dealer is adapting faster than slots, with promotions and short-term cycles. There's a tournament going on now. You know, you're going to miss it if it's not on the banner or something, but if you're an appropriate guy, I can tag you. I can have a pop-up on your screen. I can know that you are late to the competition, so I'll give you 100 free coins to jump into that tournament. It will allow companies like us that, look, we're small companies in B2B, but we deal with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of players, you know, over here. If we can become more personalized with our players and not just with our operators and partners, that can be a huge difference. And from there, technology will catch up. It can have limitless options. But just the fact of sorting your games, sorting your chips, knowing what type of dealer you like, telling you next time she's online, asking you questions, making you feel seen. These are things that they can be seamless and almost completely automated.
That makes sense. And I suppose if we kind of flip to the game aggregation, like the biggest issue for slots is just discovery. Right? It's just, I have a massive catalog. Now what?
Right. I'll tell you even more. You know, you as my client that take aggregation, and I have 67 providers. You don't know all the providers, and you're working with a few aggregators. You're looking to get a good deal. I'm sorry to say, that's how our industry works. Hey, what can you offer me for under 6? Because I'm a genius, and if I get something for 6%, you know, my boss is going to be happy. Which is not how it works. You know, in reality, few providers make a lot of money. Meaning the differences are far and great between tiers. And you see it also after promotions. So I think that if you, as an operator, can come to your aggregator and say, hey, you know what works well with my type of clientele. Doesn't matter if I'm single brand or multi-brand. You can tell me. If you can tell me what works well. Do you have anything else similar? And that's where I'm saying intelligence, and that will require a leap of faith, because unfortunately, not all casino managers know the different game types. They don't know their crowd. They don't know what's trending and might work. They will go with the big names or with the low prices. That's why we see a lot of the same. And I think this level of having that insight, and it's there. All we need is the data. The AI already knows how to build insights, divide into cohorts, and so on. I think that can be a game changer as a provider, a service provider.
Yeah, that makes sense. But like, it feels like there must be stuff already happening in this space, and it's not like this feels like it's already happening, do you feel? Or
how is it already happening in our space?
Well, you know, game discovery, showing people, hey, if you like this, you like that. It does feel like a fairly simple, you know, the game, you know, it's a highly volatile game. This is the RPT. This is the theme. Like from a first principles basis, like that equation to build that model, given you can get
you are right,
ingest it.
I think that the players know that, but unfortunately, I'm 11 years in the business. I never heard a purchaser of content come to me and say, "Hey, have you seen any high volatility, low RTP games that are very good with low latency and that are very light for phones that are about 5-6 years behind?" I've never heard such a question. I've never heard such a thought or such an analysis. Now, again, I'm not downplaying. I have had very intelligent conversations with some of our clients. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're a follower industry. I think that, for example, Aviator made it. Everyone is making crash games. No one knows what they're doing. Why is Aviator making it? How are we replicating it? I never heard someone say, hey, we have Aviator, and then we have it's Me Too, which is this guy, and Me Three. No, we have this one and then a bunch more. So I think that this is the next level of our industry. We are going to see heavy personalization and professionalism from content providers or from content, let's say, curators.
Yeah. I always joked about Star, like Aviator's the new Starburst, right? And, you know, my joke always like, is Starburst the best slot game ever made, or is it just the biggest because everybody's got it in position one on their homepage? Because everybody else has got it on position one on their homepage. And people assume if you don't have Starburst, you don't have a casino.
That's a question that you will be able to answer definitely and have a plan on attacking it. Because you as a casino operator have all this knowledge. It's in your database. Just no one is going through it and looking at it and asking the right questions. And that's what I mean when I say this is the first wave we will see. You and me should not see the same thing, even if we entered the same website. From an operator standpoint, mm-hmm. We shouldn't see the same thing. We're two completely different people. And you know what? They know a lot about us, much more than we know on our trends. So this is what's cooking, I believe. And if it's not, then someone should start cooking.
Okay. So what's next for you guys?
Well, part of the things that I spoke about are things that we're testing and looking to see how we can make an impact from our humble in-between position as an aggregator. We are looking right now into adopt AI into our team. And what I mean is, if it's our designers to use the new tools, try to play around with them and see how it is based on jotting the things themselves. If it's our developers and our CTO has our own plan of how we implement AI into code structure, into testing, and into thought processes. And if it's in my marketing team, which is, hey, you know, use also ChatGPT, the paid version, and ask him to do a market report and compare it between what you're doing, because the new one is pretty smart. So this is where we are now. We're trying to make people open their arms and accept AI, various and multiple tools of AI, to augment themselves, to try and do more or reach more. We're trying to show them it's a shortcut, kind of like what you said. You can achieve much more if you embrace AI. So I think this is where we are as a company. And again, of course, the low-hanging fruit that we spoke about. But we are not a technological powerhouse in AI, and I doubt that anyone in our industry is. I think that the big changes in AI are going to be top-heavy, and they're going to trickle down to us.
Got it. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Eddie, I very much let Fenton take the lead in this conversation. And I know that these days in the modern world, we're asked to rate and review everything. But how do you feel he's done out of 5 stars? And would you use him again?
Well, I think that he definitely has half an extra star just because of the enthusiasm of coming back from a long vacation.
to 5.5 stars.
Yeah. So, I said an extra half a star. I didn't say what the base is. I'm just saying he has half a star leg on you. And actually a full star. He left you alone for 6 weeks. So you're definitely not operating at like maximum proficiency.
No, I'm terrible.
Yeah. So I think he did a good job, but he owes you one for sure.
He does.
Thank you very much. Too kind.
Bastard. So regular listeners might know this, they might not know this, but we guests are invited to send notes about what they want to talk about when they come on. So it is largely winged, but we do sometimes have notes, and we sometimes do read them. Mm-hmm. Have we missed anything out of your notes that we were going to talk about?
I'll be completely honest. I think that my marketing team sent the notes, so I have no idea what they said I would like to talk about.
I bet they used fucking ChatGPT for this, looking at it.
For sure.
There's not a spelling mistake in it.
And you know what? I'll be proud of them if they did.
Did we get... And I don't think we have. I don't think we talked about land-based operators moving towards automation.
No,
and was one that I brought up actually with the people that contacted us, because we had Richard Marcus on a couple of episodes ago, or it might be a few episodes ago after, because Fintan and I had a moment of clarity and I realized that there might be another episode, so this might, Richard might be two episodes ago. Anyway,
what Richard said really resonated with me.
It feels like what we were talking about at the top of the episode. It's a short term decision.
It's an overreaction or a reaction.
Somebody will come back around in a couple of years and they'll be like, "Look, we got all these live dealers." Or more likely, we'll find there's a flaw. So you'll have your automated table games dealing what would have been loss leaders, your $5, $10 games.
Exactly.
And your middle tier up to VIP, like a mass market casino, moving enough middle tier betting volume might have live dealer at that. So like Macau, Singapore, they'll still have live dealers for the bulk of their tables. But Vegas, it will be far, far more select. And you'll probably see dealers on $50 and up.
It depends on the size of the venue and their success, of course. But I think it goes more than the dealers. I mean, if they make table games without dealers, they will feel it by themselves. There can be robots, and that can be a gimmick. That's nice. But the pit boss part really struck a chord. It doesn't matter, even if the player believes in it with full conviction that the machine will make the correct choice, he needs a person. He needs a person to speak with. This is what keeps people playing. They want to have that personal touch. And if they're going to go full machine on that, I think that is going to be the biggest mistake. They will immediately lose their non-loss-making players, the ones that are not there for the free buffet and play a couple of rounds with $5.
But also, it could take, and I appreciate I'm going to sound a little dramatic, but it could take a generation to come back to where we have just been, because you're going to lose... You're going to lose some older players. You're going to lose some more affluent players. And the younger players already not coming in and playing table games. Do you know what I mean? So we could actually create this really weird little purgatory for the industry where we don't have either the old or the young. We're just, maybe it would just be people like me walking around saying, "Oh, look, there's an empty table." I don't know.
But
Derek Stevens is a really smart man. And I'm such a fan of his work. I'm such a fan of what he did with Circa, and like in the middle of all of the lockdowns, Circa being built and finished and opened right after lockdown ended was such a shining light for the industry. Like globally, we were all looking at Circa and going, "Thank fuck, you know, we're not dead. There's still vision. There's still imagination, and the sportsbook model and all of that." He's such a smart dude. And, you know, he's a millionaire many, many times over. And I I'm not. So there is a chance, just a chance, that he's right.
I thought he was a very thoughtful man. Let's put it like this. It really resonated what he said. But let's see. We don't know. I think that that's the exciting part, that we really don't know. None of us knows what's coming. But it's
going to be very interesting. But I do find it fascinating that live dealer on the online side has become this staple for online casino, and that land-based casinos are moving away from it. I think that's actually hilarious. And really,
for us,
really
it's
strange.
An opportunity. It is a huge opportunity for us.
Yeah, but land-based casinos aren't casinos; they are property development companies, right? And they've just got debt to pay, right? You know, they've dug a big hole in the desert, built a colossal building, and now they need to pay back their lenders.
No. Built a colossal building, sold it to an REIT, and they're now cash rich.
Yeah, well, they've done a sale and lease back. Like, basically, there's debt to be paid, right?
No, just rent. Just rent doesn't count.
Just rent, okay.
Because they've banked billions from the sale.
But they still need the places to be full. They need to fill up.
Still needs volume. And Vegas, despite, you know, obviously there are high rollers in Vegas. Vegas, as an economy, is a mass market economy. It's food,
Vegas,
it
also
shows.
Vegas differs from Macau. When you go to Macau, you feel the pure gambling energy. I mean, people are there to play. They're not there for Celine Dion. They're not there to see a white tiger eat some guy's face off. You see it. They're very oriented. They want to shop and they want to play. Vegas has a more elaborate ecosystem. But, you know, I think it will be a huge mistake. And I think what will happen will be like we see in tech. The big guys will survive, and the small ones, or the ones that make the wrong moves, like cutting their whole staff or stuff like that, are going to die. They're going to need to evolve or die.
Certainly going to be a very interesting few years. Eddie Tota, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Was a pleasure.
Great to meet you.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just @GamblingFiles. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.